tonight, just know that there's a reason. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit has spoke these things, and we want to give honor to where honor is due, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so there was a couple of them that recently came out and may still be on the back table. And I say the back table, I mean the table next to the door as you're leaving. And they came during the conference or the week that we had with Jim and Kathy. One was the one that Jim had actually given concerning preventing the counterattack planned against President for the president. And we typed that up, and that's for, you know, back there. And then there was another one, I'm equipping you for the harvest. If you haven't gotten those, please get those and read those and use them as something that you can utilize in your prayer time. And they're so really vitally important. And I'll take these things at times and just kind of do warfare with them and create as the Holy Spirit says and shows me how to speak life with these things. Well, let's look at the two shorter ones, and then we're going to go on to the one that I really just feel more impressed. But I don't want to pass because the Lord said this. There's two prophecies on one handout or one page. Excuse me. One is resist for the hours at hand, and that's you'll find prophecy A and B, and so this is the. It all came in that service within 10 minutes apart. I'm going to read this. This is on our website. You can read it along with us. Reach out. Reach past your place of confinement, says the Spirit of grace. For he'll confine you, meaning who? Satan, even with your desire to move on. Now, as I prophesy, I see pictures. And I can't explain the pictures because you just can't stop prophesying. But when I'm prophesying this, I'm seeing a vision. I don't always see the vision. Sometimes I just hear the words and the. But with this one, I saw a confinement, and I saw people in confinement, almost huddled down under the pressure or the oppression of whatever was, you know, the enemy was trying to bring, whether it was sickness. Mental, emotional discouragement, and they wanted to move past, but there was a confinement, and yet their will to break that confinement was based on something that they willfully had to do. And let's just listen, and as I've shared with you the picture, for he'll confine you even with your desire to move on, and there's a lot of precious people that desire to move on. Move in my spirit. For it's not the position or the posture of your body or even the volume of the voice, but it's your place inside of you. We know what that is. It's that kingdom that is a kingdom of resistance against the oppression and against the lie. But if you'll move out of that place and resist the devil, from out of that place, he'll flee from you. Your body will increase in strength and in life, and the glory which I promised you, you'll see manifested, says the Spirit of the Lord. And so this is a real good title, Resist the Hours at Hand. So our resistance is so important for God to be able to do what he wants to do, and for the Holy Spirit to get involved, and for angels to get involved. So many times I believe that we wait as if to say, God, when are you going to take care of this? But there has to be that place on the inside that doesn't just hate the oppression. It's one thing to hate the oppression. That's one thing. I don't like this. I'm miserable. I hate what this is doing to my body. I hate what this is doing to my emotions. It's one thing to hate it, but the resistance has to be in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling us here that it's not the volume of your voice. It's not the actions of your body. But it's that internal place where you release by faith that resistance. Your body will increase, hallelujah, in strength and life. And the glory which I promise you, you'll see manifested, says the Spirit of the Lord. For these things are not about to come. Now I like this. I just read through this a couple times this afternoon. For I prophesied these things unto you in days gone by, that these things are about to come. And I like to hear about to come, because about to come means it is about to come, and it's futuristic. It's a hope, and hope is so important. And surely of truth, because I said it by my spirit. In other words, that anytime he said, I'm about to do, that was truth. But I say unto you, they are among you, these promises. They're among you. They're among you now. This is the hour. That which was at hand is now in hand. In hand. And I like that. What was at hand is now in hand, says the Spirit of grace. Manifestations, manifestations, and manifestations. You'll not record, or he was saying, you'll not be able to record these fast enough, is the essence of what he was saying. You'll not be able to keep track of them all in your mind or registry, because like the book of Acts, these things are among you, says the Spirit of grace. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the kairos, the season. That's a season. It's a Greek word meaning the season and time. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give glory and praise to God for these promises. And I would keep these and I would use them. You want to strike the iron while it's hot. And when the Holy Spirit says these things, you take these things home, and you know, you've got your 30 minutes or an hour of devotion tomorrow, whenever you read these things out loud and say, I agree with this. I agree with this, Holy Spirit. The end result is my strength in you. The Lord says the end result is my strength in you. Believe the word, says the Spirit of grace. See no other image but one that my word portrays to you. I call you my body. I call you my bride, standing in my place of redemption, that your bodies are manifest in the healing power of that which I provided, says the Spirit of grace. I see and have provided an end result for your, okay, listen, this is very important, your marriages, your finances, for your emotions, for all things that you'd have need of, see the end result. I know that you believe this. If you're here, you trust me. I believe you trust me. I don't sit around and contemplate and say, you know, I don't know, maybe they need this. Or maybe there's marriages that need this. I may be aware of certain things. But the structural integrity of prophecy is that you don't contemplate to where that you are creating. You listen. Now, like the one prophecy we're going to read tonight, that wasn't done in here. That was done privately, and I wrote it down. And prophecy can be written down. That's how many of the prophets, you read many of the prophetic words through Isaiah, Ezekiel, all those, many of those were not necessarily in front of someone. They were written down by the prophets, and he proclaimed them as the Lord told him. But when we hear these things by the Holy Spirit, and I'm selling you on this, but not that you need it, but just that you reach out. When we hear these things, there are reasons for them. And he's either trying to prevent things, or he's trying to shore things, or he's trying to speak to issues overall. And when he says this, when he says, I see and have provided an end result for your marriages, for your finances and your emotions, for all things that you have need of, see the end result. I would claim this, when we all come to church, and I'm just going to believe that everybody in here has got a wonderful marriage, and everybody out there, I'm not going to lean into saying that you don't. But I will say this. There has been an attack against marriages, and overall in the body of Christ, in the house, in the body of Christ. And one thing that I do, and not that I've arrived, by no means, when I say this example, I use it with faith in God. Candy and I will be married 47 years in June, but I don't take for granted that we'll see 48 unless we continue to work at it. And we've always had a good marriage, but working at it for us is to both stay in God, both appreciate each other, both court each other, respect. It's not like, oh, you're my woman. You've been around for 47 years. You ain't going no place. Listen, people are married for 50 years and they get, you know, nowadays you read all kind of 60 years, maybe they get a divorce. One of the things that is going to really be necessary, and I just say this, and this is not directed at anybody out there in here, but one of the things that's really going to be necessary for this river to flow, and you might think sometimes that certain things are not really part and partisan to the main issue of signs and wonders. And yet you'll think that they're just a satellite. But yet, really, in God's economy and how God sees things, and really for the anointing to flow, it's real important that we have a lot of healthy marriages in here. Real important. Amen. And so God is saying this and speaking, and we have to take everything. He says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself, and stand in the image, the final image, and it'll see you through, says the Spirit of grace. You'll live long lives and profit. I hope everybody's taking it serious that you can really live to be 120 and not senile. If you think that's a joke, you probably won't. You probably won't. If you believe it, you've seen the provision and you've gotten our confessions and you're speaking them, you've got a wonderful, I hate to use the word chance, but you've got a wonderful opportunity to live way past what your father and mother lived past, and profit the kingdom of God. I want to be profiting the kingdom of God at 90, 100 years old. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't see any reason why I can't just be preaching like a house of fire at 100 years old. And so let's believe God. For I've come to restore you, magnify myself and my bride. Revival is now, says the Spirit of grace. Now let's tuck those away and do some warfare with those. Agree with them. That's how you start. You read them out loud. You agree with them. Stand in the presence of God and say, I'm agreeing with this, Lord. It might not all apply to you, but you're agreeing with the body of Christ for where it stands. I heard at the beginning of somewhere in January, February, we're about to go into March, right? So sometime at the beginning of the year, the Lord began to impress on me restoration for the body of Christ, particularly this body and all of you that are watching, because you may not be here physically, but you are part of this church, and I really mean that. And so the Lord began to talk to me about financial wealth and restitution coming to the body of Christ, and some things that he wanted to do financially, not just in this year, but in what he's going to be doing for the next several years. And I really see in the spirit, I see this in the spirit. I have an image of it. And this image that I see didn't precipitate this prophecy. It's just part of what I'm seeing, is that there really is the potential of, you've heard President Trump talk about a golden age. And I believe that that's very well possible. We have to continue to be very diligent in praying for him and praying for the people, men and women that he's put in his staff, his cabinet. But it's very possible that America goes in to not only, we know and believe God. We know that the revival really has already started. We call it in the Edgewaters. But simultaneously, a reformation which involves from spiritual things into natural things, it affects government, education, entertainment, wealth. There have been golden ages in America's history, at number of different times. The industrial age, after World War II, when all the men started coming back and America was trying to rebuild, it was incredible prosperity. And then you have all these magnates and all these men that come in that's, you know, just I could start trying to remember them, but that's not the lesson. But there was decades where there was, if you say a golden age, where there was incredible wealth to be made. And one of the things I want you to hear by the Holy Spirit, I don't want to interpret this entirely. I believe there is a bend here. There's a bent that the Holy Spirit wants you to see here, is that the financial restoration is not just to get you back on your feet. And some of you, you're well on your feet, and some of you have prospered in the last 4 years, and some of you are prospering now. That's awesome. And this does not alienate you. It doesn't leave you out. If you were a billionaire, this is all part of God's prophecy, because what I see is that there's an opportunity that the Lord is saying that is in front of us. It may not be immediate, but it's coming because of what has happened in the spirit and what has been prayed into existence in the natural, and what the natural is going to complement into the spirit realm is going to, its part giving back into the spirit realm is an incredible opportunities for wealth and restoration in the body of Christ for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Now, again, I don't have to try to sell myself, but if I'm selling anything, I'm selling it for you to get a good understanding. We're not doing bad at all. All the bills are paid. Everything's really doing good. I mean, there's no jeopardy I see in any time in the near future of Harry or myself not getting a paycheck. That's great. That's wonderful. Harry, is that good for you? Yes, he's. So I'm not saying any of this out of, like, sometimes people say, well, there must be a need. That's why he's talking about. There is absolutely no need. It's way beyond that. It's way better than that. It's for putting us in a posture for what God wants to do in the next few years. And it's very possible, and I'll say this, one of the things that President Trump said back, I don't know when, I remember the last few months or since he came in, he said, and I'll just say this because I think this bears repeating, he said, it may hurt for a while, what I've got to do, it may kind of set things back for a little bit, but in the long run, it's going to be far better. And it's like a chiropractor. It's like you go, you're like really sore for the first couple of days, and then you're like, whoa, I feel much better. So indicatively, the stock market's been really trashy the last couple of weeks. But I guarantee you, as time goes on, you're going to see that get better, increase. So what I want to do as we read this is to have a mentality like, what are you wanting to do? Not just in my immediate restoration, if that's you, or Lord, what can I hear out of this if I'm wealthy? What can I hear out of this if I'm going forward? Because I really believe that if we follow God, God is going to make some provisions that we're going to look back 10 or 15 years from now and say it was then that it kind of all started and took off. Because I've not been really thinking about this. It's not been a weight or anything, but little things. But they're, you know, the big things are this: presence, signs and wonders and miracles. We think that's big, but there's something else that God is saying. There's something just as big as that in my heart, and we have to catch that. But what I was going to say is, if you haven't been here, you, You can see this auditorium. It's small. I mean, if we put chairs in this middle row, I think we had, when Dave was here and people standing in the back, I think we got 150 in here at one time, something like that, and maybe a little bit more. But, you know, you can't breathe, and you're hoping that everybody washed. You know what I'm saying? And that's how close we were. So you can't get a whole lot of people in here. But on Sundays, we got a little cubicle trailer over there, and we try to put sometimes 15, I don't know, maybe there's been 20 little kids over there, and that's not going to work for where we're going, okay? That's just not going to work. And so something is going to have to happen, and I can tell you this, the greatest thing about me saying all that is this prophecy was not precipitated on what I'm telling you right now. In other words, I wasn't meditating on this. My meditation is on what he's doing spiritually. But when he comes, he comes. And so when he comes, it's like, oh, okay, that means a lot to you too. So what I'm saying is there's got to be some, can I say it this way, mega bucks that's transferred over. I thank God for what's coming in right now. And we're good, and there's money in the bank, praise God. But there's going to have to be some big bucks transferred over. For what purpose? It's not so we can stay here, and so we can say, we got a lot of money in the bank, it doesn't look like we'll ever run out. You know, I get a salary, here gets a salary, maybe we put Robert on a few. No, it's expansion. And again, it's like, where do we go from here? I'm not worried about it. That's the least of my thoughts. I pray, fast, pray, and stay in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will figure that out. But then when the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, wait a minute, I want you to know this, and I want you to get this across to the people, then I say, okay, I'll wait a minute, and I'll listen to what you have to say. So let's listen to what he has to say here. A season of financial restoration for revivalist. Can you call yourself a revivalist? Would you say with me, I say I am. a true blue revivalist. Hallelujah. This is a time or season of restoration, says the Lord. Even as the nation is receiving an overhaul in its financial systems, my plan is to bring forth great reformation in the prosperity of my church. And again, I'm looking at the camera. Anybody in here, you may have prospered well in the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years. That's wonderful. But there's meat in here for you. Just listen. Do you think, and this is for all of us, do you think that I would plan a massive harvest of the planet and leave out one of the most important mechanisms necessary to fuel the harvest, which is, what is it, Lord? It is the prosperity and stewardship of my church. Prosperity is mean you prosper and you got more than enough. And then stewardship is, okay, how much is yours, Lord? Really, it's kind of like, that's not the greatest example. It's like, it's really the greatest steward is this. It's all yours. How much do I get? That's really the better way. That's the more advanced way. That's the better way. It's like, it's all yours. Okay, how much can I carve out of here for my prosperity? So, search the scriptures, he said. See that one of the first things that I added to the infant church was the financial giving necessary to establish what I wanted to see done in that present revival. So what was it? It was, you look at Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, and going in, you know, when you get over to chapter 5, you see judgment concerning Ananias and Sapphira. But the first thing was all that financial giving, and a lot of times we might just think that that's all concerning gifts to the poor and all, but that was being laid at the apostles' feet, or it doesn't necessarily mean that they just went in and they were standing there, but they They gave it to them, and it was for the administration of the church. So here's what is amazing to think about. We've got Day of Pentecost in chapter 2. We've got the healing of the lame man at Beautiful, Gate Beautiful in chapter 3. And, you know, all these thousands of people being saved on the Day of Pentecost. And then right after 5,000 after this man at Gate Beautiful. And then right in the middle of all this and the apostles being, you know, persecuted and God doing all kind of stuff, miraculous things. Right in all this wonderful stuff, then he brings up chapter 4 and gives us a look at what God starts doing in the hearts of the people concerning giving and finances. So it's got to be that's part of revival, a major part of revival, because he includes it right in there, sandwiched in between all of everything that he's doing as far as signs and wonders and miracles and all those wonderful things. Do you think, he says, that signs and wonders and healing, miracles and salvations are the only components of this end time revival? Well, we don't, but I think sometimes he has to get us an awareness of like, okay, because we talk about signs and wonders and we love that, and the harvest, we love that, but God is saying, look, for us, and it never has been. We teach different concerning tithe and offering than, let's say most preachers. Okay, but prosperity is not a dirty word for us. It's a wonderful word. Wealth is not a bad word. We're going to find in the Lord closes this with excessive wealth. We're so blessed. I told you Sunday that when I received this prophecy, because the Lord had brought up something that Gary taught in, and we may look, I may just bring it up on my cell phone in just a moment as an advertisement, but it was in 2023, just a couple of years ago. And what he did, he went back and he put in MP3 digital format the teachings that he had done before, and in video format, and they were all things that he had taught in the past concerning prosperity, financial giving, and all those kinds of things. And there was like 25 different lessons, and it was so wonderful. And that's in the Holy Spirit. I went through all those, and I'd went through them way back when he did it, pretty much. And the Holy Spirit brought up to me, and I thought to start with, because they all have PDFs next to them, and I thought, well, you know, the Holy Spirit brought it all up, and I saw this teaching. You know, you see things, and I knew in my spirit. And it was like after I received this prophecy, that came up. That whole Gary teaching those messages, and then I thought, well, I'll take those PDFs and I'll do a snippet on Sunday mornings. You know, I'll just do a snippet and advertise it. And then this prophecy came up and the Lord said, I want you to pair this prophecy with Sunday nights. I want the church, as many as will, come out on Sunday night, and the next, I think there's like 25 lessons of where we want to start. And just watch these and read these and have the PDFs. Now, listen, if you're not going to be able to get here to Immokalee, and whenever you can, but I'm telling you, here's a word from the Lord. And I can pretty much say, thus saith the Lord, although it's not in prophetic form. Please, even if you've listened to these in the past, go back in the very near future and go back and go through all these lessons again, and I'll tell you where we're going to start here in a little bit. But we're so blessed because these things that were taught then weren't just for then. They're foundational. And therefore, it's like the Lord said, it wasn't like he was saying that wasn't, you know, they were taught then, but it's he was like saying those things taught then are, yes, that was ahead of purpose in 2023, but there is something that the Lord is, at least for us, shining a light on and a spotlight and saying, this has to get into my body for me to do what I want to do over the next, I don't know, 4 years, 10 years. How long can this thing last? But when it's all said and done, I think we'll turn around and say, my God, the foundation that we had spiritually and what God did during those 5, 6, 7, because I don't know how long this is going to last, but we are going to turn around and say, we bought this whole piece of property and the whole building was paid for. And it might be during that. No, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say it may be during that time where like we could never afford that now. I'm not going to curse us in that sense of word. But there are kairoses. There are times where you strike the iron when it's hot. And I saw in the spirit something is coming financially that's going to provide something that is going to be part of our answer for revival. Where, can I say this word? Millions are going to come in. And thank God for any gift that comes in. But it's really going to have to take some mega bucks, big offerings. And we're all stewards, right? We're all called to give something, but that's all in those lessons. But I want to say this. We receive, and you know, I think Gary's watching tonight, so I don't have to brag on him for friendship purposes, but, and it's really nothing about Gary. It's all about the stewardship that God has entrusted to him for the purpose of the kingdom of God in these teachings. And I don't know anybody that I think has taught these type of lessons any better than he has for the purpose of what the kingdom of God needs to be in our, as far as financial prosperity, giving, stewardship. It's, you know, he's a teacher's teacher, but besides for that, it's what God has, it's part of his anointing to lay those foundational teachings for the purpose of, you know, what we're talking about tonight, finances, stewardship. And I, you know, you don't really realize how blessed we are as far as doctrine. And I put myself right in there. I mean, you're hearing me teach on a continual basis, but I know that when he's on me and my studies and things, God is flowing as well. But what comes from this pulpit and from the men that we give way to speak here, none of us, I think, at times appreciate what we're getting until we hear something else. Can I get an amen? It's like I was reading a book today. And God told me to, you know, he wanted me to read the book, and it's fantastic. Actually, it's two different books. There's a third one, and I love this guy. I really love this guy. He's a genuine man of God, an older man of God that is just, I just believe is, and I just know in my spirit, he's just wonderful. And I'm learning so much on that, the particular subject of that book. And every part of it's just been bearing witness in word and word and word. And I'm about 80% done. And on that one, and I got the next one, I'm going to go for the third one. It's got one, because this subject that he's teaching is just par none. You know, it's just incredible. And but he included one chapter concerning the subject of the book, how that it's intertwined with I don't want to give it away because I don't want really his name to be located, because this guy is a really good guy, and I don't sense any covetousness like many of the prosperity teachers. But when he got to this chapter and he started going through it, and it was on prosperity and it was interrelated to this other subject, when he got to this chapter, he taught Malachi 3:8 same way as, you know, his three or four paragraphs, same way as every other teacher that, you know, that you'll ever hear. Will a man rob God? But you've robbed me with tithes and offerings. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And thank God for men like Gary Carpenter. You know, I don't have to go back. I've taught a lot of these things, but man, boy, when you find the will, when it's set in a good place, you don't try to recreate it. So we know things by doctrine. I think he did like 10 lessons on Malachi. And, you know, not to be a spoiler for anybody that hasn't listened to those, but that they were already giving tithes and offerings, but they weren't honoring God. They had robbed God of his honor. And then, you know, I read a little bit further. Luke 6:38 was just the same way that every other, you know, give and it shall be given, good measure pressed down. And that has nothing to do with money. Please. It has nothing to do with money. And then he got over to, what else? What else? 1 Corinthians 9 on he that, you know, sows in abundance. Now I'm paraphrasing. Will reap abundantly. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And he turned that into what you got back money wise. And that wasn't anything to do with money. It was the harvest there was souls. If you sow abundantly, you're going to harvest souls. And that whole context. But I'm just saying this. Aren't you glad for praying in tongues? And aren't you glad for good teachers? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not getting enough amens. If I said we're going to be out of here in 27 minutes, would that make you happy and say, hallelujah, amen, we're going to run around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. So thank God for what he's purposed for us to do. Do not think that signs and wonders and healing miracles, I know I've read this already, and salvation are the only components of the end time revival. I'm a God who plans meticulously for what I set in place. Finances, financial prosperity, and restitution are all part of my current plan for the revivalist church. God help whoever's in need. Raise them up in the name of Jesus. There's a siren going by for anybody that's watching. Satan has used the past 4 years to bring great financial hardship to my church. He sought to not only destroy the personal prosperity of individuals, but to destroy the anointing of stewardship among my revivalists. You know, and again, I'll say there's a mixed crowd here and a mixed crowd out there that are watching. Some of you have done really well over the last 4 years. You're doing well now, but some have went through incredible hardship. But it's not just the enemy robbing. What he wants to rob is the joy of your stewardship. The word says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And anybody that's called, and we're all called to some level to be a steward of the Lord, but many have been called to just make a lot of money for the purpose of transferring that over. And when you go through hard times, it makes you kind of get heart sick. Like, I'm just trying to survive. But God wants to take us past, I'm just trying to survive, into a place where, wait a minute, I'm going to regain my stewardship. And I'm going to be able to give a whole lot of for the purpose of not making Pastor Brock wealthy or the church having a bunch of money. We don't want money that is moth-eaten, rusty, corrupted, corruptible, like not corrupted. That's a bad connotation. Like somebody's doing something corrupt. I'm talking about rust, like sitting in a bank and saying that's our security. Like we've got plenty. We don't want to be like the church in the book of Revelation that says we've got plenty. We want money coming and flowing through us for the purpose of the salvation of the nations and what he wants to do in infrastructures and anything else, but none of it's rusty. Now, there are times where he will lay up. You know, there's the man in Luke that says, I'm going to lay up for my days ahead, and I'm going to store in my barns. And God says to him, you're a fool. You know, because he said, it wasn't that his stewardship was bad. It's not like when you see that you're going to make a lot that you shouldn't say, okay, where should I put this? That's not the issue. He said, I will take my ease. And for many years, I'm wealthy. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying, I will say to my soul, soul, take your ease. And the Lord said, you're a fool. 'Cause tonight your soul is going to be required of you. In other words, you're going to die. And then whose wealth is it going to be then? I mean, who's going to get it? Your kids that are going to spend it or whoever. And they're not going to give, you know, or they're not going to be responsible with it. But he said, so is any man that is not, that has the wealth of this world, but is not wealthy towards God. So there's that kind, but there's that kind of storing up where it's all about you. But then there is the storing up where Joseph, put the wealth of Egypt in silos for something that was coming. There's the wealth of David, where David was commissioned, store, 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 store. So I'm saying this even before somebody might say, well, Pastor, we don't really, you probably don't need $1 million, right? No, it won't go to me, or a half a million, or 200,000, or 100,000, or big gifts. But whatever God has, it's going to be laid up for the moment that when that property, you know, say, well, we only put about 75 people in here. What do you need with $1 million? I don't need $1 million. I need about 3 or 4. Or I'm just being facetious, but I'm saying it's going to sit, but it's going to be at a purpose. Well, God will bring it in when he's ready for it, he's going to bring it in. No, what is he saying to us now? He's saying, prepare now in your faith. And it may not come in right now, but it is going to come in. And he's preparing us to say, I'm making judgment like, oh, there's only 40 people on Sunday. So what? He's preparing us for a golden age in the spirit where signs and wonders and miracles, and the prosperity is just a sidebar, but it's so important for what he wants to do. You got 22 minutes now. Are you happy? Hallelujah. No, you're doing good. I appreciate it. You're helping me. Satan has used the past 4 years to bring great financial hardship. I'm reading these over again to my church. He has sought to not only destroy the personal property of individuals, but to destroy the anointing of stewardship among my revivalists. As I said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do not underestimate the premium that I place on the financial restoration of my revivalist for the purpose of this harvest. Do not equivocate revival and miracles, or revival and the harvest. Don't just, he said, he didn't say do not. He said, do not just equivocate revival and miracles, or revival in the harvest. Think, this is how he wants us to think. Think miracles and restoration in finances as well. Change your way of thinking, says the Lord. There are at this time many parallels that are taking place in this nation that parallel themselves in both spirit and natural, in material and spiritual. Even if you've survived and done well, even if you've survived inflation in the last 4 years, the enemy, as I said, he's been set to steal the will, your will to say, I'm a steward of God. Hallelujah. Everybody wave at me if you would. Say, I am a steward of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are many times, or he said, understand that prayer, intercession, and the synergy is like everything working from past generations to this point in time. Of the past generations, moves have brought about this start of the greatest revival this world has ever known. Watch what I'm doing through the authority of your president currently concerning the finances of this nation. And then you will understand what I am presently doing in the financial restoration of my body, because what is happening in the natural began. It's not like the president Trump has started this. It started in the spirit, because what has happened in the natural began first in the spirit, and now I'm asking you to see the parallel in the spirit for my church. Can we say amen? How many have ever heard recently of Doge? There's a lot of liberals who don't like Doge. It's the Department of Governmental Efficiency, and they're finding billions and billions of dollars that are just wasted. Hey, get this. We all might get $5,000 back. I don't know. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know. They're finding so much money, they're saying, you know what? We could give you, we can still save all this money and give it back to the taxpayers. Hallelujah. That's pretty cool, because they're finding, but listen, God has a Doge also. He does. How do you know? Because let's listen. I'm asking you to see the parallel in the spirit for my church. For your nation, now he's talking natural things, for your nation to be healed financially, I'm first revealing the waste that has destroyed its prosperity for decades. I must first identify and reveal the waste before I can add to the prosperity. It does me no good to add blessings to waste. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. So we say yes, amen. That's not mine. So that's in general. It does no good to add blessings to waste. I don't know about you. He deals with everybody different. All of his kids different. Some of you watching, you may be so financially wealthy, and that's wonderful. But I believe that anybody that's a steward of the Lord has certain rules internally that they go by. And any time, well, I'd say most of the time, over the last 30 years, when I could see that there was a possibility in the natural of getting a raise, and of course, the way I do that is I have to go to before God and say, can I have a raise? And how much can I have? And I can't do anything that hurts the stewardship of the church. And I have to set, but you know what? Here's the thing I was going to say. Most all the time when I start asking him, and he's a great boss. God's a really good boss. If it's there, he'll give it to you. But most any time I've ever asked him about getting a raise, he almost automatically starts talking to me about where I need to cut excessive spending. And it's like, I came for a raise because I need more money. And he goes, well, I'll talk to you about a raise, but first of all, I need to talk to you about some places where the flesh is just kind of running wild. Not wild, but too much. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, no. What's that? Not you. Oh, praise God. Thank God. As a steward of the Lord, and I am nowhere perfected in this, but I've noticed through the years how he deals with me. If there's something in the natural I want, I don't know what. Let me give an example. Okay, so you know I hunt. Okay. And I've got plenty of, most of all my guns have been passed down to me, but every once in a while I'll want another one. And guns are not, I mean, you can spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a gun, or gun and scope or whatever. And I don't like guns. Listen, I have never, ever remotely wanted to shoot anybody, okay? It's all for sport, and target practice, and hunting and all that stuff. But let's say, even when I've got, and this, I hope this serves as an example for all, even when I've got the money in the bank, and there's enough there that if I pulled it out, it wouldn't hurt me in any of my bills or anything, I don't just automatically go and get it. I have to have a release, like now's the time. And sometimes I'll tell you this. This may sound strange. You may say, well, you're wacky. Sometimes even when I've got plenty in the bank or in savings, and I want something or I'd like to get something, and it's okay for him for me to get it. And yet there's money sitting there. Sometimes he tells me, I want you to believe for it. Now that's walking with him, and it's also stewardship. In other words, pray that he doesn't always want us to be able, because he wants us to depend on him. Like if you got $1 million in the bank, that doesn't mean you always just lavish yourself. And I don't have $1 million in the bank. Somebody said, well, I'm glad you clarified that. You don't live a poverty mentality, but you live a steward mentality. And sometimes it's all right for you to lavish things on yourself that are flesh, but you still kind of, as a steward, you still read the menu from left to right. Like I can just buy anything I want or do anything I want. I don't care if you have $1 billion. There's still something inside of you that says, am I allowed to have this right now? I mean, it may be $100,000 I could write the check for, but am I allowed to have it? Or $500 and I've got it. Am I allowed to have it? And I'm not talking about you have to ask him when the truck breaks down or the washer machine. I mean, that is just automatic. But I'm talking about things of the flesh. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. See, because if he can trust you like that, then he can say, you know what? I think I can give you a bunch. And this is what I like about these teachings that Gary does. They're so balanced. And there's so much to say about who we are as sons and daughters that take away all the condemnation that many prosperity preachers. But then there's also this great weight of a good weight of how important our faithfulness is and our stewardship. And if God can trust you with any amount of money, he'll give it to you. He sees, he really does. Now that's one part where sons and daughters and like him taking care of you, like roof over your head, food in your belly, has nothing to do with your giving really. But if you want him to pass a whole bunch through you, now he does look at that. Like when you got it, what did you do with it? And if you say, okay, how much of this is yours? Now I'm teaching all those lessons and that's no way for me to, because I can't even start. You got 11 minutes. Is everybody happy? Where am I at? I'm coming into my body with correction of my word and spirit to identify the waste and excess of past flesh, which the enemy used to help destroy the prosperity that I had planned for you. And I hear many of you, here's a punch. Here's a little punch. And I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It applies to all of us. And I hear many of you answer and say that excessive spending has been cut off for years now because of hardship. But understand this, that excess and wasteful consumption has not stopped because you mortified yourself to stop it. It is only because you no longer have the means or excess to spend on the flesh. Ouch. Ouch, Holy Spirit. And he's not getting onto us like hammering us. He's trying to bring us to a place where he really wants us. In other words, you'd say, man, now I'm going to elaborate, and you already understand this. And you'd say, Pastor, it's not necessary, but I'll say it for all of us. Sometimes we don't do something, not because we're so mortified that we don't want to do it or whatever. It's because we have no means to do it. Like if you had a bunch of toys And then you run into hardship and you couldn't spend it on toys anymore. And you say, well, I haven't spent anything on toys for the last 4 years. It's because you didn't have it. But if you'd have had it, toys, you'd have still fleshed out. So again, it's not him hammering us. He's saying this for this last closing paragraph or next two. But understand this, that correction is only the first step in prosperity. In other words, he's got to get this in us. Receive gladly the chastening of the Lord. And if you do, you will see what your nation, so same thing, parallel, what the nation is scheduled to see in the years ahead. It will be a time of great financial restoration and prosperity. I desire, now he said this, and I know he said it, I desire all to be wealthy beyond your present condition. So wherever you're at, he wants us to be wealthy beyond that. But many of you will become excessively wealthy for the purpose of fueling this great harvest, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So some of you, even sitting here watching, wherever you're at, I might be talking to some millionaires, but he may want to take you to double that or triple that. If you're a 5 millionaire, he may want 10 million or right up. I mean, if you're a 20 millionaire to a 50 millionaire to a 100 millionaire, there's no limit to where God is wanting to take this. Right on down to the guy that is retired, to the person that's on Social Security, whatever. He's not wanting to take your money. He's wanting you to become a steward so that he can bless you and flow in this last day through into a great harvest of souls. Let's all stand. Praise God. Did you get anything out of this? Well, you're going to leave 5 minutes early tonight. So you're going to owe me that on Sunday. Hallelujah. I bless you, Father. I bless you. Let's just worship God for a moment. We glorify you because you speak to us prophetically for the purposes of us being able to do warfare in the Spirit and receive the financial blessings. You said in this prophecy that you desire that every single one of us prosper beyond where we're at. And for many, excessively, what does that mean? It means coming to a place where it just is able, we're able to do great things even beyond what we're able to do right now. And get ready for whatever you want to do as far as we're concerned, buildings and properties and all those kind of things, they mean the least to us, except that they have something to do connected with facilitating souls and people and discipling and bringing in the harvest. So, Father, for that purpose, we yield ourselves as vessels of honor before the Lord, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening, and we will see you on Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen.
Great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he